So welcome, ladies and gents, to today's chat on developing your relationship with money. I'm Tamara Musica from gettingnaked.com.au, where we teach you how to strip back the layers stopping you loving your most fabulous self so you can essentially live your own love story. And today I'm really pleased to be chatting to Nadira Razak, the founder of Conscious Woman in Business, which is a coaching business that helps women trust their value and sell their brilliance. Nadira helps women have a really healthy relationship with money and value themselves so that they can enjoy living their passions. So thank you, Nadira, for making the time to chat to us today.
Thank you for inviting me to talk on one of my favorite topics.
So money issues, they run rife in society these days. There's so much fear, so much struggle. Money really is another one of those taboo topics like sex or like depression. And most people don't talk about it. And because of that, they don't fully understand it. So what do you believe has led to so many people fearing money and essentially not having enough of it?
I love this question, because before we actually talk about the fear part with money, Tamara, I think this whole hang up around it is what we've been programmed, like just conditioning through hearing stories when we were growing up, or what maybe even certain teachers told us in school, you know, even when it comes to picking your subjects, right? Say you're in high school and you were told pick certain subjects so that you can do that in university, so that you can get a good job. And pretty much the decisions that they're asking people to make, even when in school or growing up, is all around the security piece around money. It's like, make sure that you get a good job so that, you know, your retirement is taken care of and whatnot. And I think it can be hard when that's all you've heard all your life and you're trying so hard to have a different experience, unless you're surrounded by, you know, people or environment that are telling a different story, you are going to be fearful of it. So that's where I feel we've picked up on it. And I just feel like there's so many ways forward. And one is definitely paying attention to your environment and where you can move forward with that.
It's interesting that you say all of that, because I've noticed a lot, you know, most of my friends are sort of around the 30s mark, and they're getting to that age and they're going, oh my gosh, I need to get a house. I need to get financial stability. And, you know, if they've gone to uni to learn their passions and things like that, they're suddenly going, oh no, I've got to get re-educated because my passions won't allow me to earn the money that's needed to have that security. And I'm just seeing it everywhere.
Yeah. And that's it, that whole security piece. I don't even know what, you know, it's not like an overnight fix, especially if that's been the train of thought that you've been running for 30 years, you know. But what you can do starting out is start to, you know, appreciate what you do have, instead of thinking, oh my God, like, I've got to get my act together and I've got to turn this around like pronto, because sometimes that just puts pressure on you and you start operating out of fear and not out of love. And even those very thoughts that come up of, oh my God, now I have to go and retrain in order to, you know, do the thing that might allow me to bring in the money. Like, if it's coming from that place of, I don't have enough, or look at my situation, it's not pretty, it's not where I want to be, you're actually stopping yourself from being able to receive what it is that you do want, because the train of thought that you're running is, oh my God, look at my situation, there's not enough, and you're paying attention to all of the things that aren't working. You know,
simple case of focus on what you do want as opposed to what you don't want.
And that's the thing. We're such, like, I think as human beings, we're such great focusing machines. It's just that we realize that, you know, this train's got a lot of momentum when, you know, the stuff in our physical environment and our circumstances are showing us that, hang on a second, you've really got some money stuff going on. Time to, you know, really work on it, or do something about it. But I mean, if you look at us as, you know, people who basically manifest the thoughts that we've been thinking over a period of time, I think sometimes that can offer you relief, because you can go, okay, well, now I can choose in this moment to start thinking a different thought, even if it's not exactly the opposite. Because if you've been thinking one thought about money, that's the not enoughness, suddenly going into, oh my God, I have an abundance of money now, like, you can't even believe that, you know?
Yeah.
So I always encourage people to just reach for a thought that will give them some relief. Like, maybe it's, you know, the thought of what your baby's hair smells like or your favorite flower or something that doesn't have a charge around it as money does, you know?
Beautiful. I suppose I find it interesting because most, you know, one of the biggest things stopping people doing what they want in life, whether it be, you know, going on a holiday, eating out at fancy restaurants, getting their nails done, or even enrolling in a course like what you and I offer, is actually money. And I often hear people say, when I pay off this debt, I'll be able to do that. Or when I get a pay rise, I'll be able to afford that. But in reality, those outcomes, they never eventuate because those people are essentially programmed, like you said, to manage money poorly or to not be earning enough. So how easy do you believe it is to break those patterns so people can have a positive relationship with money, so money's no longer the excuse for them not having what they want?
I love that question. For me, Tamara, everything starts with a decision. So if someone's been, you know, creating this experience in their life that they're not happy with, and say you offer a course, or, you know, someone they admire offers a course that comes along, or a part of them knows that that's the pathway to them getting on that train to getting what they want, and then they use the same story, the whole money thing, as an excuse for not doing it. I have a lot of empathy for that kind of situation, but then part of me kind of gets a little angry going, oh my God, like this is the very thing that we're trying to shift here. And now you're using that as an excuse. And the only reason we do that is because, you know, we haven't been taught any different, right? If we're running those stories about security, then we're going, oh, if I do this, then, you know, going further into debt in order to do that thing that's going to help me. And that doesn't kind of match up with what I've been taught. So when you make a decision, what a decision does is, it's saying, I'm going to kill off any other options of this not working. So if you decide that this is the thing for you and an opportunity shows up in your environment to take you along that path, then, you know, you've got to bet on yourself that that is the thing. Because otherwise, as soon as you say, for example, make a deposit on that course to get you where you want to go, if you pay attention in your environment, something's going to come up to probably sway you and say, oh, like, you know, maybe your roof starts leaking or your cat might get run over, just because our, you know, this is how our ego kind of sabotages us and say, oh, see, I told you that wasn't the right move to make. And if you believe it, instead of going, nope, this is the decision that I made and I'm going to see this thing through, in that moment, you can flip it and give yourself a new experience with it. It's just that what I've noticed is that people don't hang in there long enough to give themselves a new experience. And so they go back into the old stories and then they can tell themselves, see, I told myself that wasn't going to work. I thought this was going to be it, but this is like all of these people who sell these courses, they say the same thing. That this is going to change your life. And it doesn't, because in the end, like, this person hasn't made the decision. And, you know, and it's the other thing is, like, when you ask, you know, you put that, you know, thought out there or that desire out there that, you know what, I want my life to change. I want my conditions to improve. And then, you know, you kind of send that thought vibration out. What you get often is an opportunity to go in that direction. You don't sometimes often just suddenly get this lump of money in your bank account. What you might get is a thing that is going to help you. And often that thing is always, so say the course or a coaching program or whatever it is, might be the opportunity. And that doesn't come at the same level that you're at. It often comes at maybe a couple of steps higher than you are. So in order to get there, you often have to toy with this decision about, okay, I'm going to have to rest all of these things that, you know, haven't been working, put those thoughts aside, and in that moment make a decision that's in alignment with your desire place. Does that make sense, Tamara? You can further.
Absolutely, and I've experienced that myself, because when I first started doing this work, I really wanted to do, you know, different coaching courses and different therapy courses and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I had absolutely no money because I just bought my first house. Mm-hmm. And I was literally sort of going to mum and dad's and asking them to provide food for me because I couldn't afford to, you know, feed myself. Mm-hmm. And I was so determined to do this course that I put it out there and went, okay, I need this to happen. And it happened. And, you know, I've had many situations like this. I remember once I needed $4,000. And again, I just went, where is this going to come from? And then the next day I sold 200 books in one go, and that paid for, you know, whatever it was that I needed back then. And it's always worked like that, but it has been me taking the risk and signing up for that thing, or agreeing to do it, like you said, making that decision before that the money was actually able to flow through and support that decision that I'd made.
Yeah, and that's the thing, a decision, like when I teach decision, I say the word decide itself, it's got, you know, that meaning of like side, like pesticide and suicide. It's like you have to kill off from all other options. It's like keeping your eyes on the prize. It's that level of focus of I'm doing this no matter what. And then that way you saw that breakthrough happened for you, right?
Yeah.
I love stories like that.
Well, even my first book, which was another prime example, I got a sponsor to actually fund the first print run, which was $10,000. And then 2 days before we went to print, the sponsor fell through. And I was like, what do I do? And I just put it out there. I went, I'm going to make it happen. And literally within the 48 hours, I think it was about 4 hours before I went to print, I found another sponsor and it was straight back on there. But it was, again, me making the decision of, no, I'm not going to allow this to stop me. I'm actually going to move forward with it. Yeah.
Oh, like that's why I love having this conversation with you, because you've inspired me just by, you know, like me meeting you at a coaching course actually, and seeing how you've, you know, like gone from strength to strength in your business and just doing what you're doing. It does take that level of like, it's a certain kind of feistiness and like gutsiness, but it is really just a series of decisions that you made, right?
Yeah. And sometimes they are absolutely risky, but you know, if you stay safe all the time, well, then you're not going to grow. You need to take those risks. You need to step out of your comfort zone for that transformation to actually happen.
Exactly. And I think your inner being, that, you know, that woman that lives inside, or if the guys are listening to this, that, yeah, you know, that wise part within you always knows when the right, you know, the right opportunity shows up, and you might be feeling butterflies when you're considering whether or not you're going to invest in something or do that thing. And then there's that level of just, you know, staying with it enough so that you can push through that little bit of fear that comes up, and not pay so much attention to the fear thoughts that say, what if this is a mistake, or, oh, see, you're going to, you know, waste your money again, or any of those old stories that you could keep saying to yourself or playing. I think you just have to stay with it that little bit more.
Yeah, and I do believe it does come down to valuing yourself as well. And as you know, I help people develop their relationship with self. And part of that is learning to value yourself and see that you are worthy and that you do have something to offer other people. And this is also such a, I suppose, pivotal area of creating financial wealth as well, because if you don't value yourself, well, then you can't allow that money to flow. So I suppose, what do you have to add to that importance of seeing your own value?
Oh my God, I get so many people who come to me saying, you know, sometimes wanting me to give them permission to value themselves and say, yes, you are worth that. Yes, you can charge that. But sometimes no matter what I say, like, yes, you know, sometimes what I say does land in a particular way for them, where they get that energetic shift inside, where they go, you know what, no matter what, even if I didn't do anything, the fact that I exist, the fact that I'm here in this physical time space reality, and have, you know, and that I'm breathing, that in itself is enough. You know, you are enough. And no matter what anyone says, like maybe, you know, you married the wrong guy, or you know, your boss criticized you, or whatever happens in your day-to-day reality, that doesn't say anything about how valuable you are, you know. And if you can get that in your bones and in your beingness, that is going to just make such a massive difference, because otherwise what you're doing is you're looking at your external reality, all the conditions and things that are possibly maybe not working, and saying, oh, that says that about my worth. You know, or maybe somebody did buy a product of yours or a service and, you know, left some negative feedback or said, oh, your stuff doesn't work or whatever, and you took that personally instead of looking at what the gift was. Maybe that person just wasn't the right fit for you, you know. And we do these things constantly that negate our value, or that allow like other people's opinions or negative feedback to sometimes stop us. And so one little failure we take and, you know, it just stops us in our tracks for sometimes months because that opinion or that little thing that somebody said infiltrated our consciousness. And so what I have to say about it is just, you know, spend 15 minutes in the mornings, especially when you wake up and when you have had a nap and when you've had maybe 8 hours of sleep and you wake up in the morning, while you are sleeping, it's like all of those thoughts, all of the negative stuff that might have come across your day, at least during the time that you were sleeping, it had a chance to rest and not gain momentum. So when you wake up in the morning, it's the perfect opportunity to maybe center yourself, light a candle, just be with yourself for 15 minutes in the morning. And maybe there's a meditation that you really like that allows you to stop all these crazy thoughts and the busyness that we run our lives in and just be in ourselves and fill up with yourself so that when you go out into the world, you're going as that full expression of you as opposed to you plus all of the thoughts that other people have been projecting on you or even your little self has been projecting on you, because that is nowhere near what how God or Source, you know, sees us. And if you remember that, then, you know, your days are going to get better. Your day-to-day, like, little experiences that you'll notice, little synchronicities happen just with the people you speak with, and the things that you've been wanting are going to come to you so much more easily.
It's so, so easy to get stuck into that autopilot where you are taking on other people's gunk, like you were saying. And we identify that and it's almost like we adopt it as our own instead of going, hold on, that's that person's gunk and I'm not going to wear any of that today. I'm actually going to stay true to myself.
I like and, that. I'm not going to wear any of that today.
Yeah, not interested. Strip it off.
Yeah, get naked to that, you know, who you really are, really.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I never heard it that way. That landed for me beautifully. I'm going to remember that. That's a writer downer.
Beautiful. Now, speaking of specialty areas, yours very much is sales. So can you tell me, you know, what saw you fall in love with sales?
It was contrast. Me being really crap at it. In the beginning, that's what it was. So, you know, the actual coaching course that we both went on, it was in Sydney, and I remember having this, like, visceral experience of what it felt like in my body of, like, just being rejected and me feeling so worthless and thinking, oh, my God, I'm never going to be able to do this as a business because I can't see myself marketing or even selling anything to anyone. And what changed for me was one of my early mentors actually having a really straight conversation with me saying, Nathara, you're not going to, you know, survive in this business if you don't learn how to sell. So make that your top priority because, you know, without the sale or without being able to learn how to sell and, you know, have a client, I'm not going to have any clients. And that to me was devastating to have that thought that, wow, I'm not going to be able to actually use these skills that I have to be able to make a difference in people's lives if I don't learn to sell. That fear, and that was enough motivation for me to just, like, throw myself into, like, this university of sales, I called it. So my whole experience for about 2.5 years was working in a business coaching firm where I was actually on the phone cold calling business owners. You know, it was scary. Like, I would sometimes stare at the computer screen for like 20 minutes thinking about what to say, and I'm not even dialing, and the phone like took on this weird characteristic of having more power than I had. But I got over myself, and just from that experience and just training myself, like, just, you know, investing in myself and learning from people all over the world about, you know, how to do it with soul, like, not to be having to sell yourself in order to, you know, be in your business, and you can do it from a beautiful, authentic, like a real space, and you don't have to sell anyone and force things on people either. So I just fell in love with it because to me, sales has been everything to being able to serve people, but also get paid for my gifts. And then now what I teach other people, you know, in service-based professions as well, how can you allow yourself to do the things in your business that typically scare other people? You know, like sometimes people would spend months on their website as opposed to just using their intuition, writing out a couple of people that come to mind and going, who can I help? And maybe there's five names that you write on this you know, blank sheet of paper, and then actually getting over yourself so you can call them and say, hey, you know, how's it going? And if you feel like you can help them, then just being able to allow them to actually have a conversation with you and pay you to help them.
It's such a big one because you see people learning different areas of expertise, whether it be, you know, a musical instrument, whether it be graphic design or whatever it might be. And then as soon as it comes to sales or marketing, it's like, oh my gosh, what do I do now? And that's where this fear and this crippling comes in and actually stops them from moving forward with it.
And I think people somehow feel like they have to become a different person in order to sell, and that stops them as well. But really, if you think about, you know, the person who's delivering the service and the person who's, you know, facilitating the sale, like, you don't have to be any different. You know, if you're really passionate about your work and you know that what you do can make a difference for your, you know, ideal person that this work is for, then I almost think of it as, you know, if you were a paramedic and you were trained in, you know, assisting people in a crisis situation, and you were just walking along on this say Swanston Street and somebody keeled over in pain and you thought, oh, they must be having a heart attack, you wouldn't just sort of stand there going, oh, I don't want to like say anything or do anything because they might think I'm being salesy or anything like that. You would just jump to help them, right? Well, it's funny, like when we come to these things that we're gifted in, we think that if we, you know, go and say something to someone about, hey, you know, I would love to talk to you, it's like, oh my god, you're like somehow being really pushy, or you just have all of these words that come to mind when you put yourself in those shoes. So I really don't know what it is, but I love seeing the transformation when someone's actually gotten over that piece. Yes, it makes such a big difference.
I know, because I was exactly like that when I first started doing this work, and you'd be sitting at a, you know, a social function or whatever it is, and someone would open up about how they've got depression. And when I first started out, you know, my main clientele was helping people overcome depression. I had a 10-session program for that. And for me to be able to speak up and go, I could help you, was like, how do I do that without, again, sounding salesy? And it took me quite a long time to be able to go, you know what, I actually specialize in helping people do it. If you want to know more, have a look on my website. And then I just leave it at that. And I didn't take it any further. I let them know what I could do. And then, you know, that was the invitation for them to ask more if they were interested.
Yeah. And that's what I love that you said, invitation, because that's how I see it. It's like your, you know, favorite people, the people that you love working with, imagine them coming over to your house, and it was a house party or just a dinner party that you threw on. And, you know, you're going out with this platter of things on a plate, and, you know, you offer it to someone and they can choose to take it or not. You know, someone would go, yeah, I will have that little meatball over there, or no, thank you to this. And without taking it so personally, if you think of it as, oh, it's just like an offering on a plate, and I'm just taking a plate of food out there, and someone can say yes, someone can say no, someone will say, I have allergies, do not bring that Like, if you can get into that way of seeing yourself and, you know, take yourself lightly sometimes and don't put your work into this major serious basket, you know, that way if anything does happen and somebody says something, like, you can let it go. You know, it doesn't have to kind of wait in your body, the level that, you know, sometimes if people say stuff, you just take it so personally because your work is wrapped up in your identity as a person.
It's very much about unattaching, and that's, I've learned so much about just unattaching from any outcome, unattaching from needing other people to see the value that you have to offer, and just allowing them to do what they need to do at their particular point in their journey.
I love that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So if there was something people needed to know about money that would change how they think about it, what would it be?
That money is purely energy. So if you pay attention to yourself and how you're feeling at any moment, your emotions will tell you whether you're on the right track or not. So if you catch yourself feeling crappy, you know, instead of beating yourself up about the fact that you're feeling crappy, just choose another feeling, like, you know, diverting your attention to something that doesn't have that level of weight to it. Like, maybe it's, oh my God, it's such a beautiful day today. The sun is out. You know, even if it's that for that moment, will get you on the trajectory of thinking good thoughts consistently enough to see a change in just the level of whether it's money, abundance, things coming to you. So if you think of it as energy, and remember to all you have control of is how you feel and your energy, your life and your just physical experience will start to reflect that internal change that's just happened. And sometimes it's not immediate because the things that you've been thinking about have gained momentum. So to just be patient with yourself and go gently with yourself, and soon enough, you know, there will be a change. It's just starting to pat yourself on the back every time you get something right and forgiving yourself. If for some reason you stuff up and you catch yourself going, oh my God, I actually haven't appreciated all the good things that I have already gotten in my environment. And yeah, just to be grateful every day for the little things. And from that, other bigger stuff will happen. But you've got to just start where you are.
It's so true, just being kind to yourself, because we are our own worst critics and we do rain on our own parade way too often. So, yeah, just being more loving, and I really like the way that you said that. So is there anything else that you wanted to add around anything to do with money?
You know, I think we often get scared, especially when it's around debt, or comparing ourselves to other people our age or maybe in the same professions as us, thinking, oh, yeah, they've got a house and I'm still renting, or whatever those thoughts are. It's like, let it go. Like, everyone's on their own path. And to not get scared about actually looking at your numbers. Like, for me, I remember, because I've been in this personal development field, at one point I went in one direction where I thought, ooh, if it's all about abundance and having enough and all of that, that if I paid attention to my spending and my numbers, that maybe then I'm thinking of lack, that I'm actually worried about not having enough. And that stopped me from looking. And then I realized the mistake in that. And how I shifted it for myself was going, you know what, if I just have a loving perspective with money, all love is, one of the, you know, I guess, frequencies of love is paying attention. So what if I just took the fear away and went, I'm just going to pay attention to my finances, you know, just be loving with it and just look. So even if it's just 5 minutes of going into internet banking and just looking. And at one point, I remember, even if I was in the negative, it was like -$151.40, just to go, wow, you know what? I've got a roof above my head. I've got food in the fridge. And that was enough to get me through. Like, you know, being in business for yourself as well, like, you go through, like, learning curves. And sometimes money is one of those things that you just have to, you know, get into relationship with and learn about and be friendly with. And one thing that I learned also is just looking at, well, how you're relating to the energy of money. Like, what kind of a person is money to you? Like, if you were in a relationship with money, or, you know, money was your lover, I've heard this and that, you know, really helped me to think about it, going, wow, would it stay around in your life the way you've been treating it? You know, not paying attention, not looking at it, not being grateful, all of those things. And, you know, I started to just get so much more relief around it, going, oh my God, like, I didn't even know what I was doing wrong until that hit me. And then I just started, yeah, like, just being gentle with myself and also going, you know what, it's not going to hurt to just look. And I noticed paying attention to what was coming in, you know, because of where focus goes, energy grows. And also looking at, yeah, okay, these things are going out. And if I've got invoices, they're just invoices for blessings that I've already received, but I just haven't paid for yet. So instead of getting hung up about, oh my God, I have this bill to pay and that bill to pay, it's like, okay, thank you. I received from that service. I appreciate it. And just, you know, when you pay a bill, it's like putting little smiley faces on things and just making it a game with yourself, you know. That really helps too.
I absolutely love how you related it to being in a relationship with someone, and yeah.
you know, we do neglect money and we do fear it and all of those things. And like you said, if you were in a relationship and you did those sorts of things, yeah, it wouldn't last very long.
Yeah, it wouldn't stay.
Not at all. And it brings me back to that saying, you know, what we resist persists. And so if we resist money, well, then, you know, it's going to be an issue in our lives for a very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your money wisdom with us, Nadira. It's been absolutely amazing.
Thank you, Tamra, for the opportunity. I loved it.
Pleasure. And if anyone that's listening loved what Nadira had to share, which I'm sure you all will, she's got heaps of other great stuff that will help you develop a much healthier relationship with money. Just head over to her website, consciouswomaninbusiness.com. And I'd just like to finish up on this quote. Do what you love and the money will follow. I know this has certainly been the case for me and many of my clients, because when you're passionate about your life and what you do, you radiate a new energy, and that energy attracts in the money that you need to live essentially your own love story. So thank you. I'm Tamra Mercica from gettingnaked.com.au. Please share this audio with anyone that you feel could do with a little more money love in their life.